Hey, man. Dukes and Bell live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Beautiful Friday, man. This is it, guys. Traffic Mageddon starts. We'll talk more about that in the 4 o'clock hour. If you're on the west side, Abe is dismissive of this, feeling that it will not disrupt all of Metro Atlanta. There will be the accordion, the butterfly effect, some would say, Abe. I can tell you this.
I'm
it's going to
you.
Take me 2 freaking hours to get to the Battery on Sunday morning. I can tell you that right now.
I think you'll notice it. It can't be that bad.
Because, again, if you can't go up the east side, then you're going up north. It's going to be 400 or up the middle right here on the Midtown, on the connector.
You can go up the east side. You just got to hop off the highway for 2 miles.
All right. Okay. Hey, more on that coming up. Stay tuned. Right now, though, the Daily Download, the Braves, they do lose, but they win the series. H.S. Kim, E6, not cool. What was that throw? Like he was like shoveling it, and then halfway through, he decides, like, yeah, he just throws it. Ozzy's my size. He needs a ladder.
Ozzy's already short.
Yeah, that was a bad situation. Now, again, doesn't matter if the Braves, one run was all you needed because Braves couldn't score. Here's Walt Weiss on Chris Sale having another good outing, but just not getting the run support.
That's a typical Sale outing right there. It's 6 or 7 innings. It's 2 runs or less, and it's punch outs and everything else. So, no, he's been unbelievable. But, yeah, unfortunately, he's been, you know, been tough luck loser the last couple times. You know, because he's certainly thrown the ball well enough the last 2 times to win. He's one of those guys that can go get some more. You'll see him cruising in the mid-90s and then get a little traffic or there's a tough situation. Here comes upper 90s. Still doing that at this point in his career. He's pretty special.
Yeah, look, I thought yesterday was better than his performance against the Dodgers. He puts you in an early hole in that game with the 3 runs given up, 2 of those earned against the Dodgers. And I wouldn't say it's a concern, Mike. It's not a concern. But he worked his way out of a lot of trouble yesterday. We've seen him be sharper. We've seen with the stuff that he ultimately had in that game, throwing 100 pitches, we've seen that carry him to the 8th before. Only to the 6th because of some of the trouble he worked his way into some of those early innings. I'd like to see him avoid that because he can be, we know that, obviously, and he worked his way out of the trouble all the same, one of the best pitchers in baseball.
No.
But he's still not at that top Chris Sale level yesterday.
No, he was like, he didn't have his A game, but he was finding a way, and he got out of some jams, and eventually he got the pitch count where it looked like it was going to be an issue. He got that right. Mm-hmm. Great job. Again, I just love, you know, again, it was the Bally or the fan, you know, FanDuel, I should say. The production team does such a great job. I love when Frenchie's in there with CJ and Brandon Gaudin last night. They were talking about when Frenchie was at the end of his career going up against Chris Sale and he's with the Royals. They find the video of him going Oppo Taco against Chris Sale. It's really good stuff. They were talking about, you know, the game within the game and the pitching.
Yeah.
Here's Walt Weiss. Look, Cubs are a really good team. Cubs, Dodgers, Braves, they're the cream of the crop in the NL. Here's Walt, though. Didn't get the win, but you're winning series, especially against the Cubbies.
We want to win every night. We thought we were set up with Sale on the mound to sweep a series against a really good team. But win another series, that's what you want to do. You just want to keep stacking up series wins. And we've been able to do that for the most part.
Not going to complain about 2 or 3, Mike. And I understand you had an opportunity for the sweep with your ace on the mound.
Right.
And you start to get a little bit selfish, a little bit, you know, I understand that. This was a 4-game winning streak you had between the back 2 of the Dodgers and these first 2 of the Cubs. I'm going to take that all day long. And this is a team that over the past 2 series has stood up to the best in the National League outside of themselves and taking care of business. And so, yeah, it would have been nice to sweep. But now I think you're in this lull because of the competition where you just can't take a step back, right?
Right.
You don't want to sleepwalk into a Red Sox series at home against a team that's not very good and give them a little bit of allowance. You got to keep that foot on the gas, and that's what's so difficult about 162 games. You got to be turned on this entire time, and they've been turned on for, what is it, what are we, 40 games in? 42
right.
games in? They've had their foot on the gas this entire time. They've now got to keep it for 120 more.
Look, the thing is for the Braves, and I said this to Carl, and we kind of talked about it with Tony Gwynn Jr., and he agreed to a degree. He said it's still early.
Yeah.
But you feel good. Like, the Phillies went on this amazing tear once they made Don Mattingly the manager. They only picked up half a game because the Braves are crushing it. And the thing is, you don't have Acuna in there. Riley is now finally dialed in. If Riley stays at this pace, then he's right back to where he was in 23. Olsen's already on an MVP-type heater. You know, you're getting stuff like Dominic Smith. Now, Dubon, again, nobody could hit last night. It was what it was. But you just feel it's a special team. And not that Alex would admit it, I think he does sometimes have to go cap in hand to say, hey, can I have a little extra in the envelope for the trade deadline? Instead of taking expiring contracts, really maybe adding some studs at the deadline, and let's go toe-to-toe. Let's stack the deck. That's always my point. You know, you've got all the worker bees. It's kind of like, remember 21? It was the Acuna injury. It was all the stuff at the trade deadline. Everybody you never heard of stepped up. Rosario, Soler, Jock Peterson. Now you feel like you've already got some of these guys that are just clutch. Dominic Smith is just in a happy place, right? Now, hopefully, now the question you just raised, is it sustainable for 162? But I just feel like, man, you're just setting things up to give Alex the wherewithal to go get another starter, beef up the bullpen, and go get a left fielder unless you're happy with Dubon playing left.
And it's going to be about cost. It's going to be the risk-reward assessment. I'm not against parting with prospects or anything like that.
Well, prospects, I understand. Some Braves fans never want to part. Guys, what are we here for? We got the best record in baseball. If we're not going all in this year, then don't waste my time.
I don't disagree, but you also can't get fleeced.
Alex always finds a way.
The one thing I would say is that baseball, beyond all other sports, Mike, is the sport where I think the best team doesn't always win.
Right.
Often. Baseball is the one sport. I know you can talk about hockey. You can kind of get hot in hockey, too. But you can get hot in baseball out of a wild card spot, and you can make a run where you need to make a run. And it's a little bit gives you pause, right? Giving up too much for a guy, and then you just don't play well for 1 week after playing well for 5 months, and you're out of it. So I understand some of the hesitation. I'm with you, though. This is a team that threw, again, what is it, 45 games, whatever it is.
Right.
Looks like the best team in baseball, has the pieces, and like you said, it still isn't even at its peak, still isn't playing its best, doesn't have Acuna back. Mm. Who knows what happens if Schwelly and Waldrip ever get going, if you can figure out what's happening with Grant Holmes and get him. I mean, you're still not at your peak. You can play better ball than you have, and you're still already the best team in baseball. It's a reason to do what you're suggesting, which is give up a couple of things and really push all in. The only thing I would suggest is even when you do that, you still just have to be hot at the right time.
Right. Hey, guys, we're giving you our daily download. We'll talk plenty more about the Braves with Grant McCauley. I'll ask him also about Schwellenbach and Hurston Waldrip because some things are starting to break now about when that's going to happen. Braves are also invested in part – it could be the best shortstop on the planet. You ever want to get into all the hype? But there's a young man down in the Caribbean, or Bob Feller would say the Caribbean from the Dominican, that the Braves are locking money on. Have you heard about this?
I have, yeah.
It's a story. We'll talk to Grant about it because, you know, things start circulating. He is going to be the best thing since sliced bread. Well, last guy was Joey Logano in NASCAR. But anyway, stay tuned on that. We'll talk to Grant in the 5 o'clock hour. Time now, though, for an update on the PGA Championship. And it's brought to you by Trajan Wealth, your trusted local fiduciary advisors, and by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Man, it's a blast. We had a great time up at Bobby Jones last time we were up there. Was it a month and a half ago? What a beautiful facility. Yeah. So go check it out. All right. Who the hell is Aldrich Pottgieter?
He's your co-leader, Mike. That's who he is.
He's 21.
He's South Africa.
75th in the world, originally from South Africa, but calls Perth, Australia home. And this guy is at 4-under through 8, about to make the turn. Also from down under, Minwoo Lee is at 4-under. What the hell happened to Scottie Scheffler?
Yeah, he had a tough start to today. He did rebound a little bit. He was plus one on the day, so 2-under for the tournament. But obviously he was a co-leader yesterday, only able to shoot 71. How about a guy, Chris Goddard, though? Obviously with the Atlanta drive, he's playing well today. 5-under today, and he's finished his round. So he's got, I think, the low round on the day, and that puts him at 3-under, just one shot off the lead, too.
You had all these big American names. No disrespect to Nikolai Hodor. That's
it's a Game of Thrones
reference. Daniel Brown from the U.K., is also at 1-under. I'm trying to find some names you guys would know. Joaquin Niemann, even par.
Justin
Cameron Smith.
Thomas is 2-under. Cam Young, 2-under.
Right.
Sahith Tequila is 2-under. People know him.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, man. So there we go.
It's very crowded because no one's really separated from the – the lead was what, 4-under, 3-under yesterday. That's kind of just where we are today.
The one thing about the Pottgieter – I'm going to get the pronunciation,
Pottgieter?
Okay? Him. He's a big – I mean, this guy hits monster drives. I mean, he's literally one of those guys that can go to Vegas and win the long drive championship. Meanwhile, speaking of big drives, John Rahm apologizes for hitting a volunteer with a divot. He takes a swing in frustration. Ah! And a chunk of grass goes flying. So, you don't do that at the Masters. You know, you might get away with that at the PGA. Either way, bad look for Rahm, who the writers already want to kill because he went to LIV Golf.
Yeah, I get it. It's a bad look. You got hit with a piece of sod. Calm down. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God, that man just got hit by a piece of sod.
I mean, come on.
Oh, the humanity. Hey, man, it's the PGA Championship Leaderboard Update brought to you by Trajan Wealth, your trusted local fiduciary advisor, and by Bobby Jones Golf Course, Atlanta. One more headline for you guys with the Daily Download today. We'll talk plenty more about the Falcons schedule. Abe gives you the sneak peek into how the schedule makers have maybe solved
it's so obvious,
the Falcons'
Mike.
Quarterback problems. Stay tuned for that. NBA.
Yeah.
All right. Is Jalen Duren going to show up? We talked about this on the pre-show today with Day-Day. Don't forget, guys, every morning around 11 o'clock, we give you a sneak peek about 15-minute long on Twitch and YouTube. And if my dogs aren't barking, it's usually a peaceful show. But, yeah, we talked about the Pistons. They're blowing it, man. They should be sledgehammering Cleveland, but they're not.
He hasn't shown up in two postseason series now. You think now game six on the road, he just decides to become a dude?
Well, that's what happened with James Harden. If we're honest.
One game six, though.
Yeah, but James Harden got
still,
the line.
I'm saying, so it can
Harden
happen.
Got the line. Yeah. He did what he does best, flopping
right.
fouls.
Yeah, and I only say that to say this. Yeah. Like, Jalen Duren has no choice but to show up if the Pistons are going to have a chance to win this series.
Yeah, they're going to need more from him, certainly. I think he's having trouble with big men who are as athletic, if not more athletic than him. Between Allen and Mobley.
Right.
Both can stretch it outside
and
a little
Mobley
bit.
Sometimes, I think Mobley sometimes is soft as Charmin. He's bowing up.
But he's going to force you outside the paint.
Right.
And at least that's going to affect the impact. The thing for me is Durin offensively has been a no-show.
Yeah.
Complete no-show.
No, he's 9.5, almost 10 points off his season average. You mentioned against the Magic, now against Cleveland. Carl is going to be just going awful on the Eaton Crow if Harden has a big night in Game 6 and they close out Detroit. Better matchup for the Knicks, Motown or the Land?
I think the better matchup is probably Cleveland. Only because I just feel Cleveland's playing close to their best basketball. Probably not at their peak, but
right.
close. Detroit feel. I mean, this is the one seed, Mike. And I know they struggled in the opening round, too. It still feels like they can play at a better level than what they've shown.
Right.
Will they? I don't know. I mean, they might be able to squeak by Cleveland the way they have played and get a road win and win at home in seven. But if they're not playing significantly better than they have in this series or in the series against Orlando, they're going to get smoked by the Knicks.
By the way, the Jarrett Allen foul, no call, NBA says in their two-minute report it was accurate.
Not
Look,
a foul.
It's playoffs, man.
I'm team no call.
You and I haven't worked together in a while. I laugh so hard about it. I mean, it is what it is. If you never saw the NBA in the 80s and 90s, then you don't know about physical playoff basketball.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the case of Wemby, guys get mugged. Michael, go watch the Pistons against Michael Jordan the first couple of years he's in the league. They call the cops on that today. Right, in Detroit, my man just talking about it over there, my man Dwayne. But, I mean, Wemby, you got to stick up for yourself. That's what we needed Jalen Johnson to do when they were throwing him around like a rag doll in Game 6 against the Hawks.
I'm sure I've contradicted myself at times on the statement I'm about to make.
Uh-oh.
I was team no-call on that play. Something that iffy can't decide the game. And I'm not – you can't call it
talking
in the first
Jared
quarter.
Jared Allen on Thompson.
Right. You can't call it in the first quarter and then not call it in the – yeah, you can, man. Because it can't be that ticky-tack to decide the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And in my opinion, they win that game, it's over.
Right. Meanwhile, Anunoby and his hamstring apparently healing up, so looks like he'll be good to go. The Knicks are taking total advantage of this long respite.
Maybe.
Question, as Abe said, are they going to come out rusty and they play game one? But we'll find out if it's going to be Detroit. Looks like, again, season's on the line. They almost blew it against the Magic. They're blowing it against the Cavs. But, again, they brought Harden to Cleveland to win a championship. You know, not there for blanks and giggles. You know he's going to let you down.
They got Harden, the better roster, if we're honest.
But Harden will let you down, Data. You know it's coming.
He
Carl's
will.
Right about that.
He will. He's shown that, but – if we're honest, Cleveland has the better roster.
All right, man. We'll come back. That's Day-Day, the smooth sounds of Double D. We'll come back. We got Twin Peaks. Our usuals are rolling in. We got Tinkers over here. Yeah, man. No more work today, right? No. Okay, good. Always worry about you going up to somebody's house. I can fix it. It's fine. I just got to get my toolbox. No, he's good. For hanging out at Twin Peaks in Buckhead till 6, we'll come back. Abe explains how the schedule makers have set things up for Kevin Stefanski, the Falcons, to smoothly transition from one quarterback to another. Stay tuned.